Welcome to Winning Is Not Everything, where we bring sanity back to youth sports by focusing on character development, effort, and sportsmanship, not rankings and trophies, and conversations with some of your favorite athletes and coaches. I'm your host, Sean Jensen, former NFL reporter, children's book author, and youth sports coach. Today, I have part three of my conversation with Anthony Spice Adams. By now, you already know a lot about him, but I promise you, there's a lot more to learn. Let's get to it. How big a star is Anthony Spice Adams? Well, many of his hilarious YouTube videos get millions of views. He's appeared on the popular HBO series Ballers, starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson, and he's hosted a cooking show with Steph Curry's wife, Aisha. So he had some appearances leading up to Super Bowl 52 in Minneapolis about 2.5 years ago. He was busy, but I asked him if he could come speak to student athletes from Minneapolis North, a public high school just minutes from downtown. Without hesitation, Anthony accepted, and I picked him up from his hotel. The thing about Anthony is, yes, he's very, very funny, but he's also very, very real, meaning he doesn't shy away from tough conversations. The coaches and players from Minneapolis North were so grateful for his inspiring and encouraging words. Throughout my career, I've seen so many people change because of success. Some literally forgot where they came from. But that'll never be Anthony, which is why he is so intentional about telling his story and sharing his insights with others. He's building a mighty platform, the foundation of which is rooted in his great sense of humor and his knack for entertaining people. But I assure you that he'll always make time and space to give others opportunities and share in the fruits of his success. Every time my family visits Detroit, which we do at least once a year, we go to Buddy's Pizza. My wife isn't an argumentative person, but she will debate you hard about the greatness of Buddy's. We went to the original location and I texted Anthony some pictures, hoping to make him a little jealous. Didn't work. He texted me back a picture of his freezer, which had several Buddy's pizzas in it. Without further ado, I present you the third and final part of my conversation with Anthony Spice Adams. What are ways that you're intentional about giving back and helping others?
Well, I've been in a situation where I needed some assistance. And so, like, I understand, like, wholeheartedly what, you know, people are going through, because I was once in that same situation. So it's important to me to give back to my community, whether that's financially, whether that's time, or whether that's just giving out valuable information. You know, I think it's real important, especially it's each one teach one. You know, it's lifting as you climb. And I think that's just real important, because as an athlete or as someone in social media or someone in entertainment, there's always some kids that are looking up to you. And, you know, you have a duty to, you know, teach these kids the ropes, because they don't know. They think that, you know, if you're in sports, if you're playing basketball, they see you on the court. They just think that you just get on the court and you just start playing. Like, they don't understand what you did in the offseason. They don't understand what you do in the weight room. They don't understand what you do in the classroom. They don't understand how much you're in your playbook. And so I think it's important. It was a kid by the name of Daniel Billingsley. I'll never forget. This particular time, I forget what year it was. The Super Bowl was in Detroit. I partnered up with this after-school program called Youthville. They had a building and everything, big old building in Detroit. And I said, hey, give me all of your report cards, and I want to see, like, all of their markings or whatever. I was going to give out 2 Super Bowl tickets, but I wanted to give it to, like, the most improved student, because I felt like, all right, if you get a 3.5, you get a 3.8, like, okay, like, you get it. You understand, like, what it takes in order to be a great student. You got a 3.8 first report card marking, 3.9 the second one, 4.0 the third one. All right, you get it. You understand what it takes to be a great student. But what about that student who got a 2.0 and then he got a 2.5 and then he took that 2.5 to a 2.8? What about that student? Like, those students never really get rewarded. And so that's who I want to give the 2 tickets to. So it was this kid by the name of Daniel Billingsley. He took it from like a 1.8 to like a 2.6 or something like that. And so I was like, cool, I'm going to get him the tickets. So I gave him the tickets, him and his mom, Francis. They went to the Super Bowl, and she was like, oh my gosh, thank you, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Fast forward a couple of years, he's been on the honor roll like ever since. Ever since that incident happened. I think he was maybe 14 at the time. End up getting a scholarship to go to Eastern Michigan and everything. I think he was like in the, I forget what his major was, but he was on a honor roll ever since then. And I still keep in contact with his mom and him and everything. He's doing really well. But just from that, he was able to say, you know what, there's some people out there that really care about me and understand, you know, what's going on with me and like that love me and care about me as a man or whatever. And ever since then, he's been on the honor roll.
What's one message you have for youth sports parents out there today?
I would say make sure you tell your kids the importance of academics, because there are a lot of kids out here. They get it. Like they understand that they're good at football, they're good at basketball or baseball, whatever the case may be. But they have to understand that they cannot play professional sports or amateur sports without getting their grades. And, you know, I just have to reiterate what I just said earlier, is that the same energy and effort that you put into your professional sports or into your sports, you have to do in academics. Like, you know, people pay all of this money to get trainers and like all of this stuff so that their kids can be the best possible athlete that they can be, and so that they can get scholarships and stuff like that. But are you spending that same amount of money on tutors? Are you doing that? Like, you gotta do that, because it's not like, it is nothing worse in the world than to have all this talent and you can't do anything with it. I know a lot of kids who were way talented than me in high school, but they just did not have that work ethic. They did not want to go to school. They did not want to go to class, but they had all the talent in the world. They were bigger, faster, stronger than me, but just did not have that work ethic, did not have that get up and go about themselves, just did not want to do what it take. And when it came to academics, and so sometimes parents fall into that trap where they like, you know, I'm about to hire the best trainer so that my son could be so big, so fast, so strong, and he's going to be the best athlete in the state, the best athlete in the country. But they don't do that same thing when it comes to academics. You're letting this kid live a lie, thinking that he's going to be the best in the country, but he's not going to have the grades because he's not taking it serious and it's not a priority to him. So don't fall into that trap.
We'll get back to the rest of the interview in just a minute. If you've enjoyed Winning Is Not Everything, there's a chance you'd absolutely love my new video series, Model Student Athlete. It's my passion to teach youth sports character traits to help athletes grow, not just on the field, but off the field. And this video course is just the thing to help them really level up. The 8 courses focus on different character keys like gratitude, effort, humility, and attitude. Each feature an impactful video that's roughly 15 to 20 minutes long and also comes with a lot of downloadable resources to keep the momentum going, as well as quotable memes and even a quiz to see if you've mastered becoming a model student athlete. You can get each of the 8 courses individually, or you can get a great discount plus some exclusive bonuses if you get one of the Model Student Athlete course bundles. Oh, and use the code WINNING to get an additional 40% off your purchase as a thank you to our listeners. Head to modelstudentathlete.com to get started and use the code WINNING for 40% off your purchase. Model Student Athlete, where character counts more than the score. What's a message that you have for kids who look up to you? You got a lot of young people who are fans of your videos. Mm-hmm. What's a message you got for them?
Be better than me. I mean, I guess I'm good or whatever, but be better than me. You know, everything that I'm doing, if you want to be like me, put your own spin on it and also be better. And, you know, it's a, everything that I tell my son, I would tell kids out here too. And, you know, I'm pretty much an open book. I was one of those kids where they said I was too short. People were saying that I wouldn't last 3 years in the league, and I played 9. So, you know, you just got to overcome, like, all these different obstacles and everything like that. And as far as the kids, you know, I would say, you know, take all this information that I'm giving to you right now and learn it now. Like, learn it now while you're 9 years old, while you're 10 years old. So when you become older, life could kind of be easier for you when you get into middle school or to high school, because you can say, oh, this is what Anthony Adams was talking about. So take the information and apply it. Apply it now so that you can create great habits as opposed to just creating below average habits, you know? So be better than what I was and learn from my mistakes, which I'm not afraid to tell you that. Like, if you caught me on the streets, this is the same information I give you. Like, I'm not just doing this for a podcast. Like, I'm an open book. Like, if you ask me, I'm gonna let you know the real. Just like my kids. Sometimes my daughters, they draw things, and sometimes they're not very good, Sean. And so either I won't say something, or I'll just be like, oh, okay, that's okay. That's good. But if it's really good, then I'm like, oh, man, like, this is really good. Like, you should be an artist or something like that. But I keep it real with my kids, because you see these people on American Idol and they be like, oh, my dad said I was the best singer he ever heard. And they're not good. They're not good.
I hear you, man.
Because their parents are just like, oh, man, you are the best ever. Like, no, I keep it real with my kids. My kids are singing and it don't sound good. I'm gonna say, hey, listen. That was not very good.
I know you do this, though. That's the thing. I know you're not making this part up. You've succeeded so much throughout your life, right? To be able to go to a major college, to be able to make it to the NFL, and now to be what so many kids want to be, a YouTube star. But I know that there's so much behind all this stuff. What's something you want people to know about the Anthony Adams story that they may just sort of perceive based on what they see?
When I was done with football, I had no clue what I was going to do. And even when I got released, I still had one more year on my deal. So I was walking through life at least knowing that I was going to get that last year. I felt like, you know, I deserved it. And I put in enough work that they would allow me to play out the last year of my contract. Like, I understood it was some changes that were going to come, but I didn't think me being released was one of those. And so I put, like, all my time and effort into football. Like, I never really did anything outside of that to kind of, like, prepare me for, you know, when I was going to retire. Because I felt like I had put in so much work, you know, me being in a 4-3, like, that was my thing, the 4-3 defense. Like, being in a 3-4, that kind of was not my thing. So I was like a system guy. So if you think of, like, a quarterback, second string quarterback, like Chase Daniel, whatever, like, he's a system guy. So it's always going to be room for him to play because he's, like, one of those system quarterbacks. But it's different for nose guards. You know what I'm saying? And especially if you're not all pro, if you're not Pro Bowl, those type of caliber players, whatever, it's going to be hard for you. And also, especially if you turn 30, like, once you turn 30, you're considered old when it comes to the NFL. And so, you know, once I got released, I was just like, man, you know, I went back to school to get my executive master's, and I did get that. So I was smart enough to know that, you know, once it was all said and done, you know, you're going to need something to fall back on. But I just was not prepared to get released when I did. And I thought I was going to play, you know, at least for, like, I got to the point where I was like, man, I want to play at least for 12, maybe 15 years, maybe. But it didn't happen. And so, but I had No Plan. Now I have a production company called No Plan. No Plan Productions, based off of, you know, me not having a plan when I was done. It got to the point where you get past those different stages where it's like you got to wait for somebody to get hurt for another team to sign you. And then you got to wait for like roster cuts. And then you get to the point where you look up and it's like October, November. And, you know, you still haven't got a call. So then I decided to retire. And, you know, at that stage, I started to create these videos, and the videos were like well received. They'll get 300,000 views, 500,000 views. And so I put together a video and I asked Chris Harris and Earl Bennett, the guys who were like really heavy on social media at the time, because I didn't understand it. I thought it was stupid. You put your thoughts together in a tweet and like people judge that tweet. I was like, this is stupid to do. Like, why would anybody want to do that? And they're like, man, you are built for social media. And I didn't see it at the time. Same thing with you, where you were like, hey, man, I think you're going to be a star, whatever, blah, blah. And I'm like, man, this dude is blowing smoke right now. Like, OK, it's nice to say, Sean, but what are you talking about? Like, I couldn't see it. And so I put together this video, and then I talked it over with Chris Harris and said, hey, man, what do you think about that? And he's like, yeah, dude, like, this is the stuff that we see in the locker room every day, but the whole world doesn't get a chance to see it. So, yeah, put it out. So I put it out. Everybody liked it, whatever. And so then I started putting together like these videos like every 2 weeks till it got to the point where it's like, you know what? I'm done, man. You know, no teams are calling or anything like that. So I'm going to retire. I'm going to retire to White Castle, and then I'm going to put it on video. So put it out on the video, and it went viral as soon as I pressed enter. So I pressed enter on YouTube, and I say within like 30 seconds, ESPN assignment desk was like, hey, can we post this? And I was like, what? Like, yeah. And I literally got up from my desk after telling them yes. I walked into the living room and Trey Wingo was talking about it like on TV. And I was like, what is going on? Like, this is crazy. Then it was just like everywhere, this video. And so, but I say all that to say that I really had no plan on what I wanted to do, but I knew I wanted to entertain. I did know that because that's all I knew. Like growing up, me being the only child, like all I wanted to do was like entertain folks so they can want to come over to my house again, because I was just there by myself. And then I found out, like, me playing football, like, football is a form of entertainment. So once I was done with football, I'm like, well, how am I going to entertain people now? So then that's when I gravitated towards doing videos, you know, YouTube. And then Instagram started doing video. And then I was doing Vine and Facebook and all of that stuff until I got to the point where I am now, where I have my own production company. And now I'm doing things for Old Spice, for Kellogg's, DraftKings, Gatorade, for PepsiCo, for Mountain Dew, like all of these brands, dude. And I'm having a great time, man.
Well, Anthony, man, I'm so proud of you. And thank you so much for spending some time with me, man.
Oh, man, no problem, man.
I want to sincerely thank you for listening to this episode of Winning Is Not Everything. Do me a favor and like the podcast, subscribe to the podcast, and share the podcast with your friends. And if you have questions for me, reach out through my website, seankjensen.com. I really, really want to hear from you. And while you're at it, check out Model Student Athlete and email me your first impression of it. Winning is not everything, but the three H's to be a real hero in life are hustle, humility, and heart. I'm your host, Sean Jensen, and we'll see you again next time.